1221.
Rescind resolution number 37225 and authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to sell Terminal 1.
Mr. Fish.
Mayor, this is a 4/5 agenda item, meaning it required four signatures in order to place it on the agenda. It is a straightforward resolution which would rescind resolution number 37225 and authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to resume the sale process for Terminal 1 North. I think that the resolution is self-explanatory, and I have asked Scott McLean from Colliers International, our commercial broker, and Eli Callison, who manages our properties, to be here if the council has any questions.
Okay. Questions for staff? They're standing by. Maybe not.
Yep. Okay. Thank you for your good work, gentlemen.
For being here.
No, we have no questions.
I think we're good for now. We might have some. Anyone want to speak on this item?
I have a sign-up sheet. Joe Walsh, Charles Johnson, and Shedrick Wilkins.
Okay, come on up, please.
Joe, Charles, and Shedrick right now, Mr. Lightning, if you could hold on. Thank you.
Well, we can bring a fourth chair.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead,
please. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Oh, man, don't sell Terminal 1. I mean, it's been the topic of conversation now all over the place. Somebody with $1 million is going to come along, and they're going to build the Taj Mahal. I mean, we have so many fantasies about Terminal 1. Just leave it alone. Don't sell it. I mean, what's $10 million to you guys? You spend that in about 20 minutes. You have the ability to house people under emergency conditions in that shed. You're going to exclude that by this motion, by this vote. Congratulations. So what are you going to do? You're going to leave 400 people out in the cold? Somebody stepped up and said, well, I can house 100. We have 2,000, 3,000. Somebody said 4,000 lately on the streets. We've been here for how many years asking you to do something about it? And you don't do anything about it because you don't understand the problem, Commissioner Salzman. You don't have a clue. You got 15,000 people hanging by their fingertips in people's houses and garages in emergency shelters. It's not 4,000, not 3,000. It's 15,000, and that's why every time you get someone off the street, somebody else bounces on the street. So you have to deal with the 15,000 figure, not the 4,000, not the 2,000, not some idiot that goes out there and says 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, you don't look homeless. 5. You don't have a clue, Salzman, of what to do. And you haven't had a clue for 10 years. And that's why we're in our 12th year of a 10-year plan that turned out to be crap. Thank you. Be proud of yourselves. Look, I really get annoyed when you pat yourselves on the back. We had 88 people die in 2015. That's a 40% increase, and you pat yourselves on the back. You're hypocrites, all 5 of you. I call you the 5 shits. You know that?
Sorry, no profanity. Let's be done.
That's not profanity.
Go ahead. Yes, it is. Go ahead.
No, it isn't. Look it up.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I actually was going to volunteer at Terminal 1, but I really wanted it to be something permanent, as it is in San Antonio. When they decided basically to say it was temporary, I basically can accept the idea that it should be sold. Let's just go on to other things. The mayor, I heard on the radio, is trying to set up a warming shelter downtown somewhere. I might like to volunteer for that. I was homeless 5 years ago, and I've actually done feeding at the Portland Rescue Mission. You know, and I've done those sort of things. I would have very much loved to have helped Terminal 1 if it was to be permanent. but it wasn't headed in that direction. I wish to say this, I may in the future get involved with Jobs with Justice and support camping under bridges and support some sort of state. There's a thing called the Homeless Bill of Rights, which could be invoked to allow people to camp there. But I would like police to actually not tear down tents, but actually make sure they're clean, help coordinate cleanups. I think it's not so bad that people are sleeping under bridges and stuff. It's the fact that they leave garbage all over the place.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And, you know, obviously the structure at Terminal 1 or that land is not the only resource we have to improve the way we treat our neighbors. Thanks to George R. R. Martin's TV book, great books being turned into OK TV series, now everybody says, winter is coming. And Mr. Walsh was correct in noting that people are going to die, and we don't have, you know, we haven't really done as much vision zeroing as a good humane society really would do. Vision zero concept has not really been applied to victims of sexual violence. We heard, you know, we just had to talk about 300 plus rapes per year. And vision zero is not discussed as the proper and moral way to treat our friends and neighbors who don't have adequate permanent shelter. You know, it's very financially challenging to figure out how we're going to get thousands of people indoors, and we're also going to deal fairly with families that are rent distressed and having chaos there. Hopefully, when we come back a week from now, we'll be able to say yes on affordable homes passed, and we'll know that 1,300 units will be coming online eventually to help shelter about 3,000 people. But even though Paranoid Park, as a phrase, made it in the local media to talk about additional shelter capacity opening near O'Brien Square, another fountain which could be refurbished. I know you all are, at times, with all the things on your plate, also looking for solutions to shelter people. It's unfortunate that it doesn't give any stability. If we use the Terminal 1 site while it's on the market, that creates some issues and stuff like that. So I'm not going to say for or against on this particular issue about how you deal with Terminal 1, but we need to be looking to encourage everyone, not just Williams and Dane, but all developers, as the Menasche family did last year, to look at structures that are vacant, the realistic timeline for filling those structures, and can we get people inside into climate-controlled facilities next to hygiene equipment? Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I had some real concerns on this project to begin with. I did not like the current offers that were on the property to be sidelined. I felt that was completely inappropriate, even using the state of emergency designation. I've stated before, you have a good broker sitting in here, and you had some very qualified buyers with offers on the property. Again, I think there should be something negotiated with this broker for his sales potentially being jeopardized. I think a reasonable amount of money applied toward his company and himself is a reasonable thing to do under these conditions. Again, he had an exclusive listing. Again, he had five very qualified buyers, and I knew one of the buyers, Jadeve Watermal out of Hawaii, that could have paid cash for this in an instant. And so I have some concerns on how this was handled. And the reality is that we need to make it very clear, if it's a surplus property, it's up for sale. If it's not up for sale and we want to do some type of humanitarian relief efforts, make it very clear to the people involved. Do not step in when there are offers on the table from very qualified people that bring a tremendous amount of money in this city from around the world, and do not waste their time or qualified brokers their time, because they will not come back to the table. Make sure that at least the broker is taken care of properly. And again, I hope you can bring back these current bids that were on the property and work with them in a reasonable, respectful manner, and do not waste their time. Again, pertaining to the developers, I commend you on your efforts. As you understand, a mass shelter is a tremendous amount of money, and it's not stepping in position to take control of the property. It's operating that property year after year. And as you know, just to operate a 500-plus capacity mass shelter will cost you anywhere from $5 to $7.5 million per year. Calculate that in 5 years, that's 50 plus million you need to come up with. That's why the city of Portland, when they fund the nonprofits, it's necessary they step in, and the bond, the Commissioner Saltzman, is very necessary, and that's why these things keep moving forward. But again, I commend you on your efforts. Keep up the good work and look for the next project. Thank you.
Mayor, can I just have one moment?
Please.
A couple of good points were raised. I just want to put them in the record. Scott McLean of Colliers International is here. They are very highly regarded in the industry. We have been told that we are in a historic market, meaning we can expect extremely aggressive offers on the property. If the resolution passes, it is the intention of the Bureau to reopen the sales process and to allow new offers for a period of time. So anyone who was either discouraged or chose not to offer, make an offer, will be allowed to do so. When that window closes on November 18th, then the proposals will be reviewed. It is our hope that we will be under contract with a suitable buyer by early 2017, and the sale proceeds would be returned to the construction fund. And this is a substantial amount of money, which in turn has an impact on our requirements in terms of debt financing and the like. And so we think over time will help us stabilize rates. We have received letters of support from the Portland Business Alliance, from the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon, from the Portland Utility Board. And I've received a lot of, as I think my colleagues have, a lot of emails from citizens and from organizations. Noteworthy, I have not received any communication from anyone opposing this resolution. Thank you, Mayor.
So if I may ask, Commissioner Fish, is it your intention that only industrial use bids will be considered responsive?
No, we're going to continue the same practice we had before, and it's a great question, which is we'll accept any bid from anybody during this period. What we have said, however, from the first day, is that we are going to honor the designation of prime industrial land, which has been the historic designation for this property and which a unanimous council reaffirmed in the comprehensive plan. So we are looking for someone that wants to operate within the existing zoning, which is prime industrial land with a river-dependent overlay, and that can make the best proposal to the city, which means the fewest contingencies, a good value for our ratepayers, and that a transaction which can be concluded in a reasonable period of time. And under the surplus property policy, that judgment is left to the commissioner in charge. But in this instance, I will be working with the Portland Development Commission and the broker to review offers before I make my judgment.
Do surplus property dispositions need to come to council?
No.
They don't?
No, they go back to the commissioner in charge. And so we're operating under the original council direction, which is to authorize by rescinding and authorizing us to proceed, we'd be operating under the original resolution, and the final decision goes to the Commissioner of Charge.
Commissioner, I kind of don't understand your answer to Commissioner Saltzman's question, because when Commissioner Saltzman asked, will you only consider bids that are to use the property for industrial purposes, and you said no, but then you said that you'll consider offers from people who are willing to operate within the industrial zoning. So could you clarify whether there's really a difference there?
No, what I said was, we have not put any limitations on the ability of people to make a bid and to come forward with a bid. I mean, if someone came forward and said they want to put a nuclear power plant there, we probably would discourage that. If they said they wanted to put a casino, we might explain that that is not a very good idea. But it is our intention to when we review the bids, to look to those bids which are operating within the framework established by this council through the comprehensive plan. That, and this land is prime industrial land with an overlay. It is part of our core strategy for growing middle-income jobs going forward, and we are going to operate within the policy framework that the council has directed. Commissioner Fritz?
If I might add, I have recently, with the mayor's staff, tried to figure out how to take off the industrial designation on a property that's less than a half acre, and I've had to conclude it is not possible. It is just not possible to change from an industrial designation. So I would suggest, I mean, obviously you're the commissioner in charge, but if there's a proposal to do something other than industrial, I just don't think it can possibly be made to fit the comprehensive plan.
And I thank you, Commissioner Fritz. The question from Dan originally, I thought, was a two-part. Are we putting any barriers in front of anyone who wants to make an offer? The answer is no.
Right, but the existing zoning.
This is a robust process. We'll accept offers, but the offers that we will treat seriously and evaluate from the context of providing value to our ratepayers and conforming to the resolution are ones that respect the designation that this council has made to the comprehensive plan. This is prime industrial land and is key to our long-term job strategy.
So I guess I'm a little puzzled because five of the six bids that were received were for non-industrial uses. And one was, I would call token industrial, that was submitted by a residential firm. So if we're going to stay true to the comp plan, if we're going to heed what Commissioner Fritz just said about the impossibility or the inadvisability of changing industrial designation, why don't we just at the outset say we will only accept bids that propose industrial uses?
Well, Dan, we're going to reopen this process, and the resolution makes clear that you have to maintain the current zoning. If someone wants to submit an offer that's non-responsive, I'm not going to prevent them from doing so. We've been clear about what the criteria is. And my guess is that in light of the clear declaration in the resolution, it would not be a wise use of people's time and resources to put a non-responsive bid in. In a process like this, which is transparent and open and is managed by a reputable broker's firm, I'm not going to prevent someone from putting an offer in, but we will not seriously entertain an offer that doesn't, A, conform to the existing industrial zoning as mandated by the comprehensive plan, and B, return good value to the ratepayers. And the reason we have an expert commercial broker working with us is that we'll be looking at a number of factors, including the number of contingencies, the ability to close in a reasonable period of time, the seriousness of the offer, and that's why a professional will help us screen these offers. But at the end of the day, I don't intend to support a proposal that breaks faith with what this council has mandated through the comprehensive plan, and I'll be very clear about that.
Thank you.
Other questions? Discussion? Okay, I think we are ready to vote.
Novick?
There were always serious problems with using this site as the site of a long-term homeless shelter or campus, the primary one that we just discussed, which is that it is zoned industrial. I voted to allow the private parties interested in using this as a shelter space to see if they could pull together a viable proposal to shelter folks this winter, partly because we need additional shelter space and winter is upon us, but also because I was very impressed that these private parties were stepping forward and saying they were willing to devote private resources to help us deal with the community issue of homelessness. I recently went with the mayor-elect to San Antonio to see their Haven of Hope model, and I know that there's disputes among experts as to the specific service model that they've adopted, but one thing that was indisputably impressive was the support that they've gotten from private parties. Private parties not only contributed the majority of the resources to build the Haven for Hope campus, they also provide a slight majority of the funds to operate the campus. And that, I think, would be wonderful to have replicated here. And I've been very impressed over the past months to see the Menashe family step forward and offer their property to be used as a temporary homeless shelter, to see Tom Cody do exactly the same thing in the last week. And I'm very much appreciative of Homer Williams and the many others who we had prepared to invest in this proposal, like Tom Brennecke and Bob Walsh and Bob Scanlon. I really applaud their efforts. And I agree with Sandra McDonough, president of the Portland Business Alliance, who recently said that Homer Williams has, quote, performed a phenomenal service to the city as he moved the conversation forward. So I really hope that Mr. Williams, Mr. Brennecke, Mr. Walsh, Mr. Scanlon, and all the others who are prepared to make this kind of investment are not discouraged and will continue their commitment to assist with the homeless problem. So that being said, we obviously are not going to be able to use Terminal 1 as a temporary shelter this year. And it is zoned industrial, and we did already receive some offers on it. And I think it's totally appropriate to rescind our previous ordinance and allow the sale to go forward. Aye.
Obviously, this is about selling an industrial property that is no longer needed by the Bureau of Environmental Services, so thank you for doing that. I need to correct the record, because we just got yelled at for doing nothing whatsoever on housing and homelessness. And, Mayor, I hope in your comments you'll recap for the past four budgets how much we have allocated to those services. I want to remind us all, we all unanimously adopted the Home for Everyone plan. We all said that we're going to have a joint office of homeless services managed by Mark Jolin in the county. And that plan says to do as much as is needed for as long as is needed to solve the problem. And so we have a strategy. And I think we all have to, including myself, respect that that is the strategy. Now, there may be some other things that we can do apart from that. As you all know, I'm trying to find a new place that Right to Dream 2 can operate. So trust me, Commissioner Saltzman, I had the mayor's staff from planning, the city attorneys, everybody who could possibly have any suggestions on how to make it work, and the answer is it doesn't. And there's no way, given what's in our comprehensive plan, given what the state requirements for industrial land are, it just cannot be done. And it took me a very long time to get to that point, but it can't be done. We're going to this afternoon have some discussions about changing the mass shelter regulations in the zoning code to make some things more easy. Even those changes would not allow this at Terminal 1. And that doesn't mean that we're not committed to helping people. It means that we need to stick with the plan that we've all agreed to. And indeed that the mayor is continuing to look for additional properties, as is Commissioner Borchek, Deborah Kafori, and they've just announced another one this week. So let's stick with the plan, and I myself need to respect that. Although Right to Dream 2 is mentioned in the Home for Everyone plan, it's not a core part of what the strategy is to get people permanent affordable housing and to prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place, which is by far the cheapest way of doing things. So thank you all. I know that we all care about this despite being yelled at for not caring. I think that's probably why we try so many different things that we really, really want to make it work. And I think we just need to keep doing that. Aye.
Yes.
Well, Mayor and colleagues, a few months ago we had an honest disagreement about the future of Terminal 1 North. And a majority of the council made a decision to go down a different path and to explore some options for shelters and a long-term vision that was presented to us by a couple of prominent local developers. At that time, I felt that it was a mistake for a couple of reasons. Primarily because what we were talking about was prime industrial land. It was core to our strategy about growing middle-income jobs in our community. And I felt that given that there was a process underway, we should continue that process, find a suitable buyer, and return the proceeds to our ratepayers who, through the Bureau of Environmental Services, own the land. Own the land, by the way, because a former commissioner in charge named Dan Saltzman had the good sense to buy it and not lease it at a time when he was criticized for that decision, but in retrospect, that was one of the great real estate deals of his tenure on the council. Well, today we are taking a very straightforward action to allow the Bureau of Environmental Services to resume the sale of Terminal 1. But while we had a disagreement about a piece of dirt, we never had a disagreement about the our collective respect and gratitude for the fact that a private developer stepped forward and said, how can I help? And I want to join with all my colleagues in saying that while in taking this action, we are going back to a decision that was made months ago, we should not miss an opportunity to applaud Homer Williams and his partners for offering to help. And we should encourage this mayor and the next mayor to bring them into the broader conversation about how we can address this housing crisis. They have a lot to bring to the table in, beyond simply private resources, and we should be grateful for their willingness to do so. I am told by the professionals that we are in uncharted waters in the marketplace right now, that if you look at a 35-year horizon, we have never had such a robust market for commercial land. I hope that's true. With our action today, we are reopening the sale of Terminal 1 North, and we encourage people to come and make aggressive offers for this property because it is a desirable piece of prime industrial land in the heart of our city. We will faithfully proceed under the applicable rules, and the proceeds will be returned to our ratepayers. Again, this council had an honest disagreement about the fate of Terminal 1 North a few months ago. And today we are authorizing the Bureau of Environmental Services to resume that sale process. I want to thank all my colleagues for the ongoing conversation we had, and I particularly want to thank Dan Saltzman. On any housing scorecard, Dan and I are about 9 out of 10 in agreement on what we should be doing to address this crisis. And I could not be prouder of his leadership on the housing bond and a number of other things. We had an honest disagreement about Terminal 1 North, but we never let it get in the way of our shared commitment to addressing this housing and homeless crisis. So today I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Homer Williams and his partners in the Haven for Hope model, or Harbor for Hope as they were calling it here, for thinking big, you know, for thinking sort of Texas-sized big about addressing the tremendous needs we have for shelter and services for people who are homeless in our city. And I think that I think we all recognize that we need the private sector. We need to marshal the forces of the private sector if we're ever going to really truly provide not only enough affordable housing that we need, but also enough shelter space. And I think one of the beauties of the Harbor for Hope or Haven for Hope is the co-location of all the different service providers, just like the Gateway Center for Domestic Violence Services. Putting everybody under one roof makes it easy for people to get help. They don't have to go from one place to get something to another place to get the other service, someplace else to get the voucher. They can go to one place and receive service. And to me, that's one of the most compelling aspects of Haven for Hope in San Antonio. And I hope that we will someday have something similar to that here in our city. And I think we all know that we need more shelter spaces, and we need to figure out how we can continue to tap the energy and enthusiasm of people like Homer Williams for solving these problems to be with us at the table. And I hope that that will, and I'm sure that Mayor-elect Wheeler, that's a priority for him, but I know it's been a priority for each one of us on this council and as we continue to try to figure this out. So thank you all for your indulgence a few months ago on a rather extended debate and protraction discussion, but I think it was one worth having. Aye.
I do too, and we've had a morning full of examples of how people in the community have to step up to be our partners in order to get to where we want to be as a city, and this was one more case of that. And any good idea that comes out of the community at least deserves a fair hearing, if not an actual tryout, and that's what we did in this case. So, you know, we need people in the community to come forward, as Tom Cody did last week. Dan and I were there for the announcement of that latest gift from the community, as we saw with the Menasche family, as we saw with the people who organized themselves in Multnomah Village to make meals for all the women that stayed there for those 6 months every day. So we need more of that, and I hope we hear more good ideas coming forward. In a climate of deliberate experimentation, which is what we're about here, some of those ideas are going to work and some of them aren't. So be it. It is important, as Commissioner Fritz noted, to remember the larger context of what we're doing here, which is we declared a state of housing emergency. We have put more general fund dollars into housing and homelessness in these most recent couple of years than in many, many more years combined before that. We've also changed our percentage of urban renewal funds dedicated to affordable housing to yield another $200+ million of investment in affordable housing. And again, thanks to your leadership, Dan, I believe the largest bond measure in the history of the city, not just the largest bond measure for housing, or I think it's the largest bond measure for anything, is on the ballot next week. And I hope and expect that Portlanders are going to think about our future and approve that bond measure. I certainly voted for it, and I think everybody here did as well. So we are making a huge investment as partners in this Home for Everyone consortium, and we're going to meet or exceed our goal of opening 650 more shelter beds this year in a city that hadn't opened any new shelter beds in a very long time, because we're going to open another 150 in 2 weeks in Westmoreland. So the progress that we're making is substantial. Some people allege that there are more homeless people in Portland than there used to be. We'll find out in January when the count is conducted. It may be the case that there are less places where they're inconspicuous in a city that has welcoming 1,000 more people a month and where the forgotten corners are growing new buildings. So it may not be numerically that we have more homeless people, but we are far from solving the problem, no question about that. And that what we're doing in terms of building more shelter beds, building more affordable housing, partnering with the county, partnering with Home Forward and other public and private organizations, those are all the right ingredients. And every time I talk to another major city mayor, they send somebody here to learn from us. But we keep learning from them as well. And Dan, remember you and I went down to San Francisco and looked at the Navigation Center model there with that collection of services. That is a better mousetrap. It is a better idea. And in fact, that's exactly the program at Bud Clark Commons, and that's going to be the program at the Westmoreland Shelter as well, where we have services there to help people out of homelessness. Just last week, I was celebrating with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and Wells Fargo an amazing gift from Wells Fargo's foundation of $300,000 to Blanchet House, so that the men who've been learning carpentry there as their ladder off the street are going to move from building beautiful furniture to building tiny homes. Another case where Portland is in the forefront of this kind of partnership. So I appreciate these partners, Homer and his associates that tried to make this idea happen. I look forward to the next good idea coming up out of the community. Quite a few of them are working, and we're going to need more of them to work over time. But for now, this is the right thing to do with this piece of surplus property. Aye. And we are at last recessed until 2 p.m.
Isn't it interesting that the people who are only